Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Thanks, everybody.
The Bears.
You're listening to the best of the Bears.
He's in for the touchdown, and the Chicago Bears have taken the lead.
A weekly mix of 670 The Score's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Big Z!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
It's just one of those. I mean, unfortunately, we've seen this movie before, but goodness gracious, why would you ever want to remake that form of horror movie?
It's a new leading actor.
Well, it's just different cast members, guys. It's a very similar script, and the ending is indeed gruesome, or at least it was yesterday. Bears just totally outclassed by the Detroit Lions. Jared Goff now a shoe-in to be NFC Offensive Player of the Week, which would make the Bears defense 2-for-2 in that category. I'm sure Dak Prescott's probably aware of that this morning as he prepares for Sunday at Soldier Field.
They're coming in hot, no doubt about that, Brad. So if the defense is the biggest problem, and I would agree that it is, there's a long list, but it's at the top.
It's all a problem.
Thank you, John Fox. But if you are Dennis Allen, where do you start? Does it start up front? Does it start with a secondary? And what's wrong with Kevin Byard?
Well, I think it's everywhere. Yeah, it's a lack of a pass rush. It's the front and the back end not being connected. You see the Lions just eating the Bears up on a lot of those crossers. Those take time, right? And there's the one play where T.J. Edwards is trying to match in zone coverage against Jamison Williams. Well, if you've got a really good defense, you can get away with that on occasion. Because the pass rush is going to get home because the quarterback isn't going to be able to hold the ball until Williams is, cleared all the way across the field and has a, huge head start on TJ, who's put in a terrible spot there. So the run defense wasn't good. It was like 7-on-7 for Jared Goff most of the game, guys.
Yes.
Like, that's what's crazy. The Bears are out there in full pads, and the Lions are playing 7-on-7.
And the Bears are built for 7-on-7. Unfortunately, they did not win on either side of the line, quite frankly. I was surprised, or I have been surprised, that they're getting no bang for their buck on the offensive line or the defensive line. And maybe, in fairness to the defensive line, maybe Grady Jarrett is injured, but, I mean, it doesn't explain why Montez Sweat is not performing.
Yeah, I mean, Sweat has one play yesterday, and it gets wiped out on offsetting penalties with Tyreek Stevenson getting an illegal contact on the Bears portion of that offsetting situation. With Grady, you hope he's able to get healthy. It's a right knee. That's the knee he had the ACL with a couple years ago where he missed half the season with the Falcons. And you want to see him healthy because you don't want him to be – this year's a Keenan Allen addition to the roster. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's got leadership and he's got some real qualities in terms of intangibles that can help in the locker room. But first, he's got to help on the field, and that defense needs it. And you know, I feel like the Jervon Dexter breakout story has been was overwritten last year, and it's certainly been overwritten this year. And he just
lasted a week.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know that we're actually going to see that. And you can't pin this on any one player or any one position group. They're so bad across the board.
Every level bad on defense.
They are. There's not a level that's just really playing at a satisfactory level.
I looked at Brisker let him in tackles, and I looked at it, and I commented to someone this morning. I said, "Did you even notice him?"
I can't remember one he made.
No.
So, Brad, if you are the accountability coach and Ben Johnson came in talking a tough game, guys are going to be held accountable. You're 0-2, and you are a bad 0-2. Is there any one area? Is there any one player that will be used as an example? Like, okay, this isn't good enough. We're going to replace you. Because I can think of some candidates.
Are you talking about cutting a guy? Are you talking about
I'm talking about replacing a guy, losing your starting position. Darnell Wright, what are you doing? You're in year three. You're supposed to prove that you are a top 10 draft pick. You are an elite Pro Bowl caliber offensive tackle. You stunk yesterday.
Yeah, he had a tough game. Like they've got just too many penalties on the offensive line as a whole. They've got six false starts through 2 weeks, as bad as the offensive line was a year ago, when I believe they tied for. I gave the stat to you guys a couple weeks ago, second or third in the league in most false starts. They had five through the first two games in 2024. They're at six false starts now. He has the chop block, the false start. Dahlman has a hold yesterday. Braxton Jones gets a face mask penalty. So I think eight of their four penalties went on the offensive line. I don't know that you take him. Like, they played Theo Benedict two series at the end when Tyson Bagent came in at quarterback. That's a total of 11 snaps. Do they look there? You know, one thing I would consider for next week certainly is, how about activate Shamar Turner, the second-round pick at defensive tackle, and give him a little bit of a run? I mean, Grady clearly wasn't at full strength yesterday. I'm sure Grady wants to be out there, but you want to develop your young talent. I wasn't surprised that Ozzie Trapillo was inactive yesterday. Guys, it was a bigger surprise he was active in week one, because teams rarely carry nine offensive linemen on the game day roster, which is what the Bears did against Minnesota. They got back to eight dressed in uniform yesterday.
Hmm.
Is there something we don't know going on with Cairo Santos? I mean, he... You know, obviously, I don't think he was being ironical when he kicked the ball out of bounds to open the game.
They wanted to be aggressive to start the game there and try to pin the returner in the corner, and he didn't hit the ball well. And he's got to be better at that. He knows that, and frankly, they can't have it. But it's something all these kickers are adjusting a little bit to. You saw, I think, late in the game, Detroit, when it's just a total blowout, just get the ball downfield near the goal line, ends up short of the landing zone for a penalty. So all the kickers are adjusting a little bit, and we'll see what it looks like as the season goes on. But Cairo can't have mistakes each week continue to crop up.
Right.
Brad, number five on your list of 10 thoughts in ChicagoTribune.com this morning is something I agree with. Caleb Williams was better than he was in week one. Now, that's a relative term, but I do think that he was improved. I don't think he was at the top of the list of problems, but people will come at him this week and say, you know what, he could make everything better. Where are you with Caleb Williams in the game that he played?
He was improved over week one. Like, week one, in my opinion, looked like last season. I thought he was more comfortable in the pocket. I didn't think he rushed as many throws. Looked like his footwork was better. They tried to play with tempo and use that to their advantage there in the first half. And when things were kind of clicking, that's when they had some success offensively and they were able to move the ball. Now, he's nowhere near being able to play in a video game like setting, which we had yesterday at Ford Field. Like they're not good enough to go out and put up those kind of points. But he was better. If he wanted to see a step in the right direction, he took you there. He's still got a long ways to go. Like they're not, they picked up where they left off last year. They're not looking at the tight end at all, guys. Like that was a clear issue with that offense a year ago. They used the 10th pick in the draft on Colston Loveland, and those guys are total non-factors in the passing game. And I counted close to 30 snaps, I believe, yesterday, where they've got two tight ends in the personnel grouping on the field.
I just read you a question one of our texters has. Who's going to get fired first? Is it Dennis Allen or Richard Hightower? But oh, and yeah, I know, no, I listen, Dennis, stick together.
Yeah,
I get
Allen
it.
Didn't forget how to, yeah, Dennis
no,
Allen didn't forget
I know.
How to coach football. And the players should be able to pick things up on that side of the, like cover three under Dennis is going to be pretty damn similar to cover three under Eberflus or whoever else. Like he's a, you know, I had a former coach texted me as I was going through security at the airport this morning, and he said likes Dennis Allen a lot as a coach, thinks he's really good. He said, now I wouldn't confuse him for Vic Fangio, but
right,
this guy's one of the better ones
sure.
In the league. And so, you know, Dennis wasn't thrilled with a lot of questions this past Thursday about the Monday night game. I hope he's going to be able to brace himself, or someone will be able to prepare him for what ought to be an onslaught of questions this coming Thursday.
Yeah. Somebody tell him how it works.
Yeah,
he's a Hallis Hall. They're about 3 days behind everything. Yeah. So tell him that
3 years
to expect.
Say?
Yeah, 3 days, 3 months, 3 years. Brad, did you ever get to the bottom of that whole third and fourth down quarterback sneak thing? I think that was just egregious.
Well, I'll tell you what, they got to be better there. When you talk about the assets they put in the interior of that offensive yeah. line with trading away a couple later draft picks and then paying all three of them, Dahlman in free agency, redoing the contracts of Tooney and Jonah Jackson. And
paying the play caller.
The only thing,
that's right.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Where's the imagination
there? Yeah, like Caleb should be really good at that, right? He's 230 pounds. He's strong. But how many times from under center has he been asked to sneak?
Fifth of never. Yeah.
In his life. I don't know. They got to get better at that. Ben Johnson did a pretty good job, I think, of being critical of himself first last week. I'm not going to imagine what he's going to say today or later on this week, but you guess maybe he wants one of those calls back for sure.
I am, Brad, I mean, I'm in a panic mode in my own way, but I would like them to just make some drastic change. I just don't see – I don't want to hear anyone selling losing to me again at Hallis Hall. I don't want to hear it. And I don't know what they can do. I don't know what kind of backups they have anywhere. I saw a lot of guys drafted and left inactive. Again,
Mulder wants position changes.
I just wonder what they can do. Is there anything they can do? Move people around, try to get better. There are guys that don't belong on the field, frankly.
Yeah, I don't think week three is quite
right.
Panic
enough
time.
Yep.
For your new, you got a brand new regime. But like I mentioned earlier, getting Shamar Turner in uniform, getting them some action. Like, you got to see what some of these young guys that should be an integral part of your future, what can they do? What can they add? And they've got to be better across the board because, you know, like last year, go back and look at last year. This might surprise you. And it was a total disaster, right? Just complete disaster across the board. But in the time that Flus was the head coach, they gave up 29 in a terrible game at Arizona, and they gave up 30 up at Minnesota. And I think that was right before the Thanksgiving Day debacle here in Detroit.
Yeah.
Other than that, that defense last year didn't give up, when Flus was in charge, didn't give up over 23 points a game. So they were playing defense with most of the same players. Remember, that's something we talked about in the offseason. Like, we're expecting this to be a great defense with most of the same guys back. They were playing the kind of defense that kept them in games. The maddening thing was the offense was a total, just unmitigated disaster, and they had in-game decisions that you scratch your head about, and then we're losing in an unacceptable fashion a bunch of lower scoring and one score games. Remember the Thanksgiving Day game where Flus tucked the timeout into his pocket and flew home with it.
Oh boy.
Detroit scored 23 points in that game.
Fond memories, Brad.
This segment with Brad Biggs, sponsored by Estwing Professional Tools, made in the USA for over 100 years. Estwing.com. Thank you, Biggsy.
Safe travels.
Journey home. Yeah.
Have a great day, guys.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Raheemy Harrison Grody, middays 10 till 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Williams on third and long. It is complete. Odunze inside the 10 for the end zone touchdown. Williams connecting with the second year receiver out of Washington, Rome Odunze. Odunze in motion. First and goal. Fake toss. Williams looking end zone. Throws. Touchdown. Second of the game for Odunze.
That was Kenny Albert on Fox Sports. This is Raheemy Harris and Grody on 670 The Score. You're listening to us on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank. And great clips. We continue to unpack because there is a lot of baggage from yesterday's 52-21 loss to the Lions that I think called a country blank whooping, because that's what it felt like. Bears owned in almost every aspect of the game. Although I will say, special teams was at least better.
Go teams.
That was a low bar.
At least better.
The bar was in Hades a week ago. So yes,
and
I agree with
an easy way to help with that is to go for it more on fourth down, which the Bears did, unfortunately, 0 for 2 on fourth. And then also not attempt any field goals.
Special teams was not given a chance to screw up.
If you've struggled in the third round drafting, just don't draft in the third round.
Except for the start of the game, though. Kicking the ball out of games to start the game, that was poetic.
The problem with the problem with not drafting in the third round is then you end up with three second round picks and you're wondering, where are all those second round picks and what are they doing?
Well, apparently the second round picks yesterday just didn't play.
Luther Burden III was out there.
Yeah,
I saw him. I did. I saw him on the field of play with the ball in his hands. I did see that.
Somebody tweeted me, there is no chance the Bears beat the Cowboys. This is all I have, okay? This is it.
Yeah, I can't see the Bears. I could see the Bears beating the Cowboys, but I definitely would not pick the Bears to beat the Cowboys.
Well, number one, the league has essentially told you, because the Lions will create a blueprint for you offensively. The league has told you, go after 29. Unfortunately.
It's sad.
I mean, I hate saying it that way because it sounds so caustic. But I feel like that's just what happened yesterday. And did you see him getting a bit of a shoving match with Amon-Ra St. Brown?
That's a given.
And they didn't call that. So glad to see that still happening.
The Dallas Cowboys scored 40 points yesterday, Layla.
Against the Giants.
Yes, and they're playing the Bears next, who just gave up 50 points. Dak Prescott, 38 of 52, 361 yards, and two TDs. Jamal Williams, 18 carries, 97 yards. C.D. Lamb, 9 reception, 112 yards. I appreciate your optimism, Layla, but I'm like, it's the Bears they're playing next.
Here's what you guys are not taking into account. I believe that the progress continues this week.
I believe.
For one, Caleb Williams.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be up in the task. Last week, he could not handle the video game type setting of what the scoring was. Brad Biggs put it pretty well in his 10 things. Listen, I think he's going to take another step. I think the most positive thing to come out of that game, and there were not very many positives, is that Caleb Williams found Rome Odunze, who set a career high with 128 yards, and then also two touchdowns. And that connection seems to be there. That's something to hang your hat on.
Really
and
important. It's really important,
it's
too.
It's super important.
It's a big
also,
deal.
No, yeah. I think we're all in agreement there.
Yeah. So also, on top of that, we heard a reflective and an apologetic Ben Johnson a week ago talking about the run game, and before things got out of control, they were running the football.
Swift was really good.
Yes.
I love the way he was, like, his style of running. That's it.
It looked
that's
like
what it looks
fit
like.
The personality, right?
Yes. Like, and that's so, what they couldn't get him to do last year.
And so, if you look at it just from a, hey, did the Bears get it better in any way? I think Caleb taking what I saw to be a step forward, not a huge step, but a step forward with Roma Dunze specifically.
Well said.
And they're still figuring out some of stuff out. But also, a running game actually existed in the first quarter of that game and existed in the second quarter until things got out of hand. Really, that end of half was like the end of the game.
Well, and that shouldn't have been. You know, a play like that and a drive like that, albeit one that was curiously officiated, should not take you out of it. But you're right. It was 21-14. The other part of this is, one of my biggest aspects of improvement and wanting to see what they were going to do was, are you going to score on your first drive again? And it sounds so basic, but when you consider how bad they were offensively on their first drives last year, to score a field goal would have been monumental. And they did it again. They scored a touchdown again. And that, I do believe, gives a team a base, especially an offensive one, where, again, you say you're stripping it down to the studs. I do believe that that is something that they should hang their hat on. Because, again, you saw people be their best selves, right? DeAndre Swift looked like himself.
Yeah.
Then they were able to use him out of the backfield as a really solid weapon, which I thought was good. Ben Johnson also told you he was going to call more run plays. He did. Mm-hmm. Kyle Monongai got 7 carries for a total of 28 yards. But the point is, the intention was still there. The fact of the matter also is that typically 4 sacks for another quarterback in a game, I think we'd be talking about this in a much more serious manner. But given the bar here and the comparison here, we know that that is not the biggest aspect of what happened to the offense yesterday.
And I completely agree with you on the first drives. And those are good for Ben. That is what Ben Johnson has brought. Very good first drive scripts. And we all want a whole hell of a lot more than that. Here's the problem now, 2 weeks in a row, where the Bears have deferred, which I have liked. They get the ball back in the third quarter with a chance to really put a stamp on things. Last week against Minnesota, 3 and out. I shall now put my glasses on.
You don't need I know why you're doing it for dramatic effect.
Yes, in the third quarter, the Bears' first drive. It's 28-14 Lions. The Bears get the ball first. Marky Mark had put $40 down on the Bears to win. I told you guys that. It's a problem. I called 1-800-GAMBLERS after that, so
okay,
I'm all good.
I'm an accomplice
cured.
Because I pushed you to do that.
Yeah, you
but
did.
Also,
hey,
I know you're putting that much on it.
Hey, Chicago, it's not. Don't add that S on the end. It's not 1-800-GAMBLERS. This isn't the access of the hotline.
You see, I've been living
gambling
her way
problem
too
called
long.
1-800-GAMBLER.
That's right. I am a Chicagoan through and through. But anyway, 3 and out, the first play. And DeAndre Swift had a nice game, but guess who had a false seat?
Oh, it was him.
Guess who had a false start? DeAndre Swift. Then a 3rd and 9, and this is where it was a bad pass from Caleb Williams to Zacchaeus. Then the Lions do get the ball back, and they kick a field goal to make it 31-14. The 64-yard pass to Jamison Williams. It's
God,
like,
that
oh
was terrible.
God! And then
T.J. Edwards on that play, right?
Oh. Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's when he just came up lame. It was that's definitely a hamstring.
Right. That's where the embarrassment begins. And then it gets worse in the third quarter when the 4th and 5, Caleb has it deflected, nearly picked off. And then Layla, after that, the 44-yard touchdown pass to Jamison Williams. It's 38-14. And then we start to get into embarrassment territory. And Mark lost $40. And that's just, they even gave me a chance to get $17 back. I wouldn't do it. I was like, the Bears are going to win this game. No, they didn't.
I was so obsessed with taking notes for this game. I not only did the notebook, I did a Google Doc, and then I condensed my Google Doc main points into my notebook. But I didn't like it in my life when I was like, 3rd and 34, LMAO.
So like, he doesn't have a play for 3rd and 34?
I mean, that was also the issue, is some of these penalties just put them in untenable positions.
Dude.
You know, when you consider the interception, for example, and that was a bad point for QB1, you know, because then He's trying to make something happen. It's second and 32 at the Chicago 37. He gets flushed out of the pocket. He's rolling right. At that point, you need to decide, are you faster than the rest of the defense so you can run out of bounds? Do you take the sack because that's definitely a sack there, or do you try to make something happen downfield? He tried to make something happen, and it turned into the interception. Mm-hmm. How I really do, though, defer to Ben Johnson as to what his preferred method is there, because I feel like when it comes to outcomes, if you really care about the interceptions and what you want to do, where does that sit with you? I think it's one thing to like take a shot downfield and take a risk that's within your play structure, and that's an interception. That one to me was bad because you made a bad play worse, you know, where you're trying to throw it out of bounds and you just didn't get there. Like, that's the thought process that you want to look into.
No, I think that's very different. And the earlier example in that game was when he went to Roma Dunze over the top, double coverage. Okay, if they get an interception there, they're inside their own 5-yard line most likely. And so that's acceptable. It wasn't acceptable, one, because of where we were in the game, right?
Yes.
And he just throws it 3 yards to the right. It's out of bounds. It's out of harm's way, so to speak, because he barely caught that thing in bounds. I think it's another step. It's another data point for him to talk to his quarterback one-on-one, say, hey, this is why this wasn't a good play. And again, I expect the growth with Caleb to keep coming. Like, I don't know how long it's going to take to get where Ben Johnson wants him, but I think as long as he continues to go forward, we're good with that. The defense is a whole different story.
Yeah, Raheemy Harrison Grody here on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. What I'll say is, the first drive was excellent. The touchdown was on a 3rd and 9 to Roma Dunze. That is some clutch stuff. But getting back to the interception drive, things that we haven't pointed out, but we've made a point of, the penalties. Drew Dolman had a hold on that drive.
Right.
Braxton Jones had a face mask on that drive, which is what set up the 2nd and 32. And this is where also I get a little bit conflicted, because a lot of the opinions were at that point, you know, Caleb, you know, just take your layups. Don't try to play hero ball. There is a place for Caleb Williams to still play hero ball and to make plays and to win because of Caleb Williams. He just messed it up in that spot, because there were similar plays last year for Caleb Williams in the Minnesota game when he had those back-to-back plays, one of those to DeAndre Swift, where he rolls right, fires it down the sideline, and one of the, you know, it's a free-for-all, but it's one of his best plays. I don't want to take that away from Caleb Williams, so that's not a place where I'm saying don't play hero ball. There has to still be a place for that with Caleb Williams.
I thought Ben Johnson was perfect in his description after the game, talking about what he wanted to see from Caleb Williams. He said, I want him to be a point guard, not a shooting guard.
Yeah, but sometimes you got to shoot.
Whoa, but that's the point. Point guards don't not score. Right. It's not like point guards don't take shots.
Right.
They're just selective in which, like, my favorite point guard.
Jason Kidd.
No, it's
why?
Well, because that's the perfect, like, because he scored 11 or 12 points a game.
There's
right?
a reason they called him Ason Kidd early in his career.
No
Ason
J.
Kidd, no J. So, yeah,
wow.
We don't want him shooting.
I didn't know Jason Kidd sucked.
But
wow.
Chris Paul, on the other hand, who I was going to say, the point guard, he's a guy who knows how to get everyone involved in the offense, get everybody going.
And then
when he does have to take a shot late in the shot clock, guess what? That thing's going in.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
He gets handed a grenade and he knows how to defuse it.
So like, was that not a good
use
spot?
An NBA term.
Would that not have been a good spot for Caleb, like you're saying? Setting everybody up, finally he takes a shot. He messed it up. And I still don't know what he was trying to do. Was he trying to throw the ball out of bounds?
You don't know what he was trying to do?
Well, I
think that sums it up.
Well, I said he screwed it up.
Let's review tape with other tape. You know, the phrase like review scripture with scripture. Let's review tape with other tape. When you consider that he was forcing the ball into some pretty bold situations, because you know who his blankies are. You know who his security blankets are. It's Olamide Zaccheaus and Roma Dunze, and it might be in that order when you consider the reprogressions and what you see out of where he chooses to throw a ball. So with Rome, he wants to give him the Michael Penix Washington experience, I feel like, where he's throwing it into 2 and 3 dudes and you got to figure that out and make the cool catch. I feel like that's happening. Do I think it's him hanging out to dry? No, I don't think it's purposefully bad. I think it's just the coolness of it. You know, like that's what he's used to seeing him do. But regardless, he's used to taking risks. We knew that this was going to be a long process. And now he's got to unlearn everything that brought him to this point where he's successful. So I factor all of that in when I consider what you're seeing. However, you have a week of practice to be able to put this together in a manner that makes it make sense. You should know who your reads are, and I feel like that's something that we're still seeing as well, is what the read progression is. Unfortunately, I hate to bring this up because I feel like the discourse around it last week was so so vitriolic, but the all 22 will tell a lot of tales from this game.
Let's take a look at the palate cleanser in the moment. That's the fact that, hey, football's not done. You got a doubleheader tonight, by the way, but also Cubs baseball. Tonight, the Cubs road trip begins in Pittsburgh. Pre-game coverage begins at 5:05. First pitch at 5:40 on the Score and the Southwest Airlines Radio Cubs Radio Network. Then after the Cubs game, oh yeah, football, like I promise you. It's Chargers Raiders Monday Night Football kickoff at 9 right here on the Score and the Odyssey app. That is inviting for a parlay for me, a cross parlay.
Mm. Oh yeah,
MLB NFL.
No more advice for Marshall.
I'll let you guys know. My friends at FanDuel have a same game parlay option today. I'll tell you about it later.
I'm not listening to you anymore, yeah, man.
I didn't know you were putting that much. I was thinking like $5.
Look,
you also owe me a dollar, Marshall.
I do owe you a dollar.
The irony of this, guys, is the only two times in my life that I bet on a Bears game is 2 years in a row at Detroit for the same amount of money.
You were not allowed in 2020. Six to do this.
1-800-GAMBLERS.
No, because
there's no S.
Oh,
you were no. In fact, I'm going to confine you to the Jules's, where you're going to have to sit because you shouldn't be allowed to bet on that specific game.
Speaking of the Jules's in the South Loop, I went to the Jules's in the South Loop before the game yesterday.
The one on Roosevelt.
It's just so
spirited.
I think
you went to both of them, the one off Canal and the one off Roosevelt. They're very close to each other.
Yeah, it's right. It's Wabash and Roosevelt. That one right there. Everybody's wearing their Bears. Like, the employees all have their Bears gear on. I'm fist pumping just customers in there because everybody's got their Bears gear on. I was so pumped up, and then things happened.
Let's hear from them. If you were at the Jewels yesterday in your Bears gear, but also, if you just want to call us and our phone lines are open, 312-644-6767. You've heard what we have to say. The meatball machine is open for you, too. If you don't have time for a call, you can just vent. We will play the meatball machine at 125, but we will have you call us next on the Score.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Welcome. It is the Spiegel at Home show. We are here with you to talk about the Bears, and they are not very good today. We appreciate you listening on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday. 911 indeed. Presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. Alex is here. Tanny is here. That man is Matt Spiegel.
Hello. That music is from my guy Greg Woods. Listener of the show, piano player extraordinaire, that is Bear Way Down. Not Bear Down, but Bear Way Down. And I agree, it is mournful. It's like a New Orleans funeral around these parts.
Not as happy. Not as happy as a New Orleans second line funeral.
That's true.
That would be a party.
Yeah. So is it a Viking funeral? Are we putting the Bears on a boat and setting them out in the water and lighting them on fire?
We're lighting yesterday's game definitely on fire, man, for the way that they played. And don't worry, we're going to make room for you too. Here's what we have planned for today's show. We are going to talk with Kurt Warner at 3:25. He has watched the tape. He has thoughts on a lot of things, including how things were put together. We are going to talk with Jalen Johnson, he who is not going to play football anymore for the rest of the season. We're going to talk with him at 4:30. I hope that he's just like okay. Not even football okay. But we'll check in on him at 4:30. And in between that, there's all sorts of stuff that we want to get done on today's show.
Man, you hit on it very well in transition. And the performance of Ryan Poles at this point, to have not a single Pro Bowler to his name in all of his drafts, to have the 10th pick overall and 3 second rounders essentially make no impact whatsoever, is the new microscope we add. Because I thought the conversation in the offseason of does Ryan Poles deserve another chance was a worthwhile one. I was a yes. Ben Johnson, way more importantly, was also a yes. We know this. We know this for a fact. Ben Johnson was a yes on letting Ryan Poles stay and extend and getting them aligned. But now we got a new data point, which is two games into the season, how this freaking draft looks and how this team is not getting any help from Ryan Poles' draft picks. It is a horrendous look for him right now.
Eric Lambert had this, and he threw it out there, and I got tagged in it. 26 players have, of the 34 players drafted, 26 have played one or more seasons. None have made the Pro Bowl. He's the only general manager in franchise history to have that honor at the moment.
Dude, Emery had Pro Bowlers.
Ryan Pace had a bunch of Pro Bowlers.
Multiple Pro Bowlers.
Including one that's still on your team that's now probably going to IR for the rest of the year.
Ryan Poles has none.
3-17 against the division. 15-38 overall. Those are both worst history in franchise history. So that tells you what Ryan Poles has done in his career as Bears GM.
Man, it's like the long leash of forgiveness at the beginning, such a start he was afforded to have to change over. It was a big bus. It's going to make a slow turn. We gave him all kinds of leeway. Praise the long transition to his vision of talent. They had tons of cap space in multiple off seasons.
And wasn't that was something that people looked at and said, look at what he did to Carolina and how he set this team up. And what he's done is he's wasted those picks that he's had.
That's the thing. That's the thing. You look at those picks, that like four top 10 picks and seven second rounders since year two for Ryan Poles. And what do you got? And right now, through 2 weeks, there are 13 offensive linemen who got drafted in rounds one or two. 12 of them have started a game for their team. The other one is Ozzie Trapillo, who can't dress. That draft pick, that dude is not a left tackle. He's absolutely not. Theo Benedett's getting garbage time snaps yesterday. What the hell is Ryan Poles thinking? That's BC. He's supposed to have the pipeline to BC.
He is supposed to have the pipeline to BC, but that pipeline seems to be bad. And the other thing is okay, if he's not a left tackle, then what is he? Because you ideally have your right tackle, who people swore up and down was the better choice over Jalen Carter when I told them that was a mistake. And that guy cost you 30 yards in penalties yesterday, along with getting your quarterback hit. He's a fine player. There's nothing wrong with Darnell Wright.
He's just a guy, man.
I think he's better than just a guy. But Speed,
you think so?
I think he's. But the problem is that if your projection for him is that he's your right tackle,
then what are you drafting Ozzie Trapillo for?
Correct.
It makes no sense at all.
You drafted a swing tackle in the second round?
In the second round. That's crazy. After you traded out of a spot, theoretically, because he didn't like the running backs that were left, and you don't end up with one until round seven.
And then, like, it compounds the problem that you have at running back for you, too. Like, there's a lot that is going on here, and it's not good. And it's illustrated by everyone. Yesterday was I talked about it after the game, my video for 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, and then on House of L. This is an organizational loss, and that's what's so frustrating about the extension that Ryan Poles got and the idea of him not still trying to grow into this job, like Kevin Warren believing that he can grow into this job. And maybe he can, but Bears fans have a right to be tired of that. They have the right to be like, I don't need a training wheels GM at this point in his career.
Hey, man, you're right. I mean, here's the thing. Ryan Poles was excused for a lot of went on because the thought was that Trace Armstrong had railroaded him to Matt Eberflus, and Trace Armstrong had railroaded him into Shane Waldron and all those coaching pals and cronies. And now that that's been cleaned up, we get a chance to see the true vision of Ryan Poles with the help of a real coach and Ben Johnson. And I have reveled in those possibilities. But through 2 weeks, I just don't see it, man. I don't see it at all in this draft and with a lot of the other players from his draft, which don't have value. And then you go back and look at the guys he traded for. Montez Sweat, what is happening with your $25 million defensive end? You're $25 million defensive end. You heard what Ben Johnson said? We didn't affect the quarterback.
Nope, not one bit.
You must affect the quarterback. Jared Goff just sat back there. He was 17 for his last 17.
Yeah.
Man.
Jared Goff was so hyped, he jumped up in the stands. He needed a lot of help to get out there, but he went there, and they're making plays down the field. Jaquan Brisker, where was he at yesterday? There's a lot of toast that was going on with Jameson Williams and Amon-Ra St. Brown, and I get that's connected to your pass rush. You're leaving those guys in a bad spot because you're not affecting the quarterback at all. You're not putting any pressure on him.
There's just nothing at all. Like last week, Jared Goff against the Packers was deeply affected. He threw 10 passes to Jahmyr Gibbs last week.
I am so happy that as a show, Friday, we actually sat down and we're like, maybe the Lions offense isn't bad. Maybe Green Bay's defense is good. I'm so happy that we did that because we didn't walk into this game being like Detroit's offense is totally broken and the Bears should take advantage of it. And a lot of people did. We looked at what happened Thursday night.
Yeah, we did.
And we were like, maybe they're just real good.
Today's a tough day for the transitive property. You know what I mean? You got the Packers looking like they are, and that makes the Lions thing look a lot worse against the Bears. You got the Vikings looking like they did last night, and that makes the J.J. McCarthy thing look a lot worse against the Bears. Through 2 weeks, it is a bad season for the transitive property.
And it looks like J.J. is going to be out for a while with an ankle injury. Ooh. So there's injuries all the way around the league. Joe Burrow looks like he's going to be gone for a long time. And Jalen Johnson looks like he's done for the year. Mm. T.J. Edwards probably is going to be down for a while.
Man.
So those are your two best defenders. One's not going to be here for the whole season. The other one is going to be gone. Like if you've tweaked a hamstring after having a hamstring, I've got a couple of questions for you. One, what was the operation that got you to the point where you felt like both of those guys were full go? And do you need to review the process by which you clear players who then ended up re-injuring the injuries that they've had and kept them out of camp?
They put Luis Robert out there and just let him go. Put Eloy Jimenez out there. Just let him go.
Don't make Jalen Eloy. Well, he's Robert, right? Robert's the better player.
That play where Jalen put his arm over the wall and tried to hold on.
That was a bad choice. Yeah. Him falling into the net. Like, those are all things that you didn't want to. And it's just everything about how your organization worked yesterday didn't work. And you got exposed.
You did.
That's the frightening thing, is that if you were a Bears fan that looked at Monday night's game and said, okay, new coach, new system.
Mm-hmm.
They're working through some stuff and it didn't go quite right. Week two, now they figured out all the biggest jump that you can have in the NFL is between week one and week two. And you get to week two and you're sitting there at the end of the half going, what the hell is going on? And then they come out of the half. The game is not gone at that point.
They looked terrible coming out of the half for the second week in a row.
And that's a problem.
I agree. There are a lot of problems. And I can live with the progress. I can live with seeing the progress if there's enough of it on the roster to make me think they're anywhere close. But they are just nowhere close.
They're not very close at all. And we know that you're frustrated. At 3 o'clock, we want to talk with you. We want to take your phone calls. And I'm sure there are a lot of Bears fans with a lot of thoughts on what it is that this team is saying that they're doing versus what they're actually doing. We need to take a break. When we come back, it wasn't just that you got beat. It wasn't just that you got beat by 4 touchdowns. It was that they made you wear it yesterday. And God bless the Detroit Lions for doing it. We'll explain next here on The Score.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.